But what if it says 2,478,693?
Oh, you just go.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. I go beep. Correct if it says two.
I go beep. 2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. There will be pew pew space fights and moody Anakin losing all of his toys.
I want my toys.
What's up, Chris? My toys, yes, my toys.
I was going to go to the new Tashi station and pick up the new Chase figures.
No, and R2 is going to play with me.
There was no R2s left.
I love my droids more than my wife.
I don't want to be a Jedi anymore. I'm going to be a Sith.
Yeah. Grr, grr. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
I'm good, too. Listeners, I will say for the next two episodes, I have a little bit of a cold. So if you hear me suddenly just be like, talk, talk, talk. That's why.
I'm drinking. I've gone from my usual Mountain Dew chemical broth energy drink to a hippy dippy Bing Cherry energy drink. And we'll see how that goes. Instead of caffeine, well, no, it has caffeine in it too. Never mind. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm drinking my coffee, but yeah, sorry if I'm sniffly, listeners. We record these two episodes together, so this episode and next episode, I'm going to be a little sniffly in coffee, so sorry.
Just like General Grievous.
That's my General Grievous impression. Well, guess what, Chris?
What, Hope? I don't know.
I didn't set you up for that very well. I'm sorry. We had something that has happened to us that hasn't happened in the previous episode.
Ooh, something's changed?
Something has changed, Chris, and it is a miraculous change.
What could that be? What could it be?
Do you want to know what it could be?
Yes, I do very much so.
We got reviews.
Did we? On iTunes reviews?
Yeah, we have iTunes reviews.
Those are good reviews because they help people see our podcast more.
And so, like, by the time this episode comes out, like, we got these reviews weeks ago because we record several episodes in advance. So, for example, like, last weekend, I took the weekend off because I was away. And so it allows us to have, like, time off if we need it. So whenever you leave us a review, we will see it right away. But it will take us a few weeks before we talk about it on the show. So we're not ignoring you. We still love the feedback, and we will read your iTunes reviews and feedback on the show.
Did you say still love the feedback? Because I do love the feedback.
It says feedback.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
I know what it says. I just wondered if you pulled a Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin made one of my favorite new words ever.
What?
Squirmish.
Squirmish?
Yeah, it was she was talking and she misspoke. She meant to say skirmishes, but she said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. She said something, but you know, they're over there and there's always a whole bunch of skirmishes.
What she's trying to, oh.
She's going to say skirmishes. But then I started thinking about squirmish, and then I was like, I like that word squirmish. It's not a fight, but
it's like a squirmish. It's like
it's an uncomfortable situation is what is where you get in. Like, say you're in public and maybe you meet someone you don't like and, you know, where you guys mutually don't like each other or you're at work. And so you have to be civil to each other. But you have one of those moments where the claws don't come fully out, but they just come out a little bit and it makes it uncomfortable for everybody. That's a squirmish.
Yes, that is me and my coworker every Friday and Saturday.
That's a squirmish, and I think that should be put into all the dictionaries. It should be one of the new words that they put in every year. Is it every year? I think it is every year.
Yeah, it is, and I think last year was an emoji, which just makes me mad.
Well, you know, I mean, language is language, so
Emojis is the death of language.
Yes.
We are going back to hieroglyphics, people. Stop.
I don't know why I'm defending them. Well, because they're like almost needed in some ways to give your, because you can't hear the tone of somebody's voice, but they went from that to getting way out of hand.
Yeah, I don't mind the occasional, like, smiley face, but when people do, like, whole conversations and emojis, I'm just sitting here going, I don't know, smiley, shark,
yeah,
dead. It was smart with the Deadpool poster, though.
Winky face.
The Deadpool poster was really smart, though. I will give them that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, well, I mean, anything that has to do with Deadpool anyway is going to be satire, you know, just plain rude satire. So almost anything that Deadpool is going to be doing is going to be great. Not with the dirty language or the swearing anymore. You know how I hate to swear, but I love the whole thing where, you know, people are signing a petition for a PG-13 Deadpool so their kids can see it.
That doesn't surprise me, only just because of the fact that, like, I work in a comic book store, and you don't know how many kids I have come in wanting to buy Deadpool comics, and we have to explain to the parents that they're not appropriate. Like, Marvel would be killing it with a Deadpool comic right now.
They don't understand. You don't want your kids to see it. You want your kids to sneak it. They'll sneak it on the internet and stuff. That's what will make Deadpool even the more... it'll be too much for your kids, but they'll love it when they get a hold of it, and it's naughty for them to watch it. So I love that there's... And, I think it was an official Deadpool Twitter or Instagram or something like that, put out something like, hey, you know, to the kid who's putting out the petition for a PG-13 Deadpool, no, you can't see the movie. It's a movie for grown-ups and not for kids. So fuck you, and your mother's a whore. Because my fear with that is you start...
You'd be the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four movie again.
Well, it's.
Are you not to say
the R-rated movie is just starting to squeak its way back, and I for one like R-rated movies because I like adult. I'm a grown up. I like grown up things, and I like blood and guts and sex and violence and all that and swearing. I like it. I don't like bad movies that have that in it as much, but I like going to see a movie that's not under the constraints of like, okay, what if this is bad for a 13-year-old. I like, you know, sometimes it's an adult movie that goes into adult spaces that are just too mature for 13 years old. But sometimes I want to see someone's head get blown up. And there's been, and as a horror fan, they feel this need, you know, for the last 20 years to keep things in PG-13. So that they can get the most audience in there, whereas R excludes a big portion of the audience. And I think, like, Fury Road was a big step in, like, yeah, they're going to make the Mad Max movie an R-rated movie, and it would have been a lot more lucrative to make it a PG-13 movie. But, you know, he learned that lesson with Thunderdome. So... And so people asking for movies to be PG-13 they're just like right at that point where they're starting R-rated movies are. I think Super Troopers was another like ahead of its time. You know, R-rated comedies are coming back, and it's like I want to foster that. I don't want to fight that. So I'm against that. But how do we segue this all back into Clone Wars? Clone Wars PG-13.
You should leave us reviews of what you think of us talking about Deadpool movies.
That's what
we were
talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were able to read our feedback.
I feel so bad for the people who left feedback for us now that I just, like, totally derailed their glory.
Gene, Aaron, we love you guys.
Yes. Oh, well, I just want to say one of them's Gene Hendricks. Kind of a shill. He's on the network. But you know what? I mean, he's not going to give us a good review if he doesn't like the show. The other guy, what's his last name? Aaron?
Oh, I don't have it pulled. Oh, wait, I do have it pulled up. Look, because I'm a smart kid. I planned ahead and didn't even I planned ahead and didn't even realize I did. It's Aaron Henley.
Aaron Henley. Now, I just assumed Aaron Henley might be someone that knew Hope and was like, oh, I'll go, you know, out of the goodness of my heart. I ain't never heard of the guy before, but you know what, Aaron Henley? You're on my radar now, buddy. You're on the good list now. You're getting presents instead of coal this year. That's what I like. Somebody who I don't know personally leaving us a review.
Well, how about this? We will pledge to read your iTunes reviews when we get them for that episode and stuff like that. And like I said, you know, record ahead of time so these won't come out until like a couple months and stuff. So why don't you read Jean's and I'll read Aaron's?
I don't have them pulled up.
You are on the document. I see your cursor.
Oh, okay. Sorry, smart kid.
This is why I have Google Docs.
Okay.
They're in purple.
Oh, yes, there it is. Okay, so I'll do Jean's.
And then I will get off your lawn, Grandpa.
This technology. Listen, you want to hear my Google Docs? Crinkle, crinkle.
I have a podcast notebook, too, but you can't see my notes.
My notes are made of wood. Okay.
I did have someone explain reading to me in the best way ever, and then we will read Jean and Aaron's feedback. But they said, like, I don't understand why people don't like to read, because it's ink splattered on pieces of thinly cut wood, and then you hallucinate wildly.
Yes.
So.
Controlled hallucinations. The best kind. Well, maybe not. Well, it's a matter of taste. All right. First up is Gene Hendricks of the Hammer Strikes podcast and follower of Thor. Okay, Gene says, I started watching The Clone Wars when it was first run, but I think I gave up somewhere in season 2 for whatever reason. Now that Rebels is out, I've started rewatching the show. And wouldn't you know it, there's a great podcast going through it episode by episode. Who is that? Hope and Chris do a great job. Thank you. Looking
You're
at
welcome.
All angles of the stories and seeing how everything fits together. As we've been doing such a great job of just now tangenting off into PG-13 R-rated movies. If you're a Star Wars fan, you have to listen to this show. And we know there's what, like 700 million Star Wars fans out there that now have to listen to the show. So I'll accept that.
Me too. Thank you, Gene. And our second review is from Aaron of... I don't know if he's a part of a podcast or something.
I don't think he's on any of our podcasts. I think it's an honest to goodness listener. We have them. That's the thing. This might be proof that we have them, like Bigfoot.
Aaron, you're like a unicorn.
Or Bigfoot.
A unifoot.
You're half unicorn, half Bigfoot.
A big unifoot. Well, Aaron, also, if you want to, come say hi to us on our Two True Freaks Facebook page.
Yes.
So we can say hi and thank you in person. And so our second review comes from Aaron. A great look back at one of the greatest animated series of all time. I agree. Chris and Hope have a great chemistry. I love the viewpoints of the older fan with the younger, whom this show was her gateway to the galaxy. I listened to other Clone Wars podcasts as the show was airing, but now that the show is complete, it's great to see the whole picture. A worthy addition to the Two True Freaks networks, and I will be listening from beginning to end.
Okay, I hope you know that's a long time.
It's a long time.
Good. I like listeners with long-term plans.
He called you old.
Well, older.
Older.
I am older than you, so I will not be offended. I invite people.
I will say I am one of what? Aren't I one of the youngest in Two True Freaks? I'm one of the youngest.
I think so, probably. Yeah.
I think there's only like one or two people younger than me.
Michael Leyland's probably a little bit younger than you. He's probably a few years younger than you, but.
And I was still the first.
Yeah.
Bitches.
Some people get their kids on and stuff like that, so.
They don't count.
No. Not until they start doing a monthly show.
I mean, not that they don't count, like, as people. Like, they count as people, because, like, every person is valid, unless you're, like, Hitler or something. But, I mean, like, they don't have shows. And
are you saying Hitler wasn't valid?
No! When you do something that terrible, you give up your right to be a human being. We should talk about Clone Wars.
Oh, right. Well, we'll get plenty of space Hitlers in Clone Wars coming up, so we'll...
That is true.
...deal with that then.
I've seen, man. Space Hitler. Something, something, something dark side.
The Hitleriest Hitler of all.
It's springtime for Hitler and Germany. Bam, bam, bam. So, Downfall of a Droid. It is the sixth episode in the Clone Wars. It premiered on November 7th, 2008, and it was delayed a week in observance of Halloween. It was written by George Christick, which I have a question for you in a second about that, Chris, and was directed by Rob Coleman. It was first revealed, the title was first revealed by Henry Gilroy in an interview that was featured in Star Wars Insider issue 103. Some of the extra information for you, the great listeners of our show. The opening scene of this episode, described and even illustrated in the accompanying episode guide, was cut probably because of the strict time limit of a TV format. Additionally, there were other scenes that appeared in the Untold Stories DVD, featurette of the Clone Wars film, that was apparently cut from this episode due to similar reasons. So was George Christick the guy at Dragon Con?
That he was.
Okay, that's
we met him on the same day. We met him on the panel that we met you at.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because I was like, this name sounds familiar as I type these notes.
He was the guy. He wasn't on the panel all the way through. They brought him in and then they said, now we've got a genuine Clone Wars writer here, George Christick, and brought him up. And that was the magic moment where he just basically backed up everything Scott and I said, or, you know. And, of course, he was working on Clone Wars, so he wasn't going to say anything negative, but...
And he's been on a few True Freaks episodes, forever ago.
We had him on a couple Star Wars Monthly... I think at least one Star Wars Monthly Monday, but I want to say two. And then we did... And we haven't had him on in a long time. He's a hard guy to... He's a busy guy. He's got a career.
Yeah, because I think he was just starting off with Clone Wars, and I was looking at his profile, and he's picked up several shows recently.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, Clone Wars was just a thing that they were like, hey, can you write two or three episodes sort of thing. He already had, I think it was more of an anime style show that he was like, was his baby, you know, he was writing it and conceiving it and stuff like that. So, yeah, and... You know, when we were asking him about his episodes of Clone Wars, he's like, well, yeah, they say they were written by me. He wrote him a script and then he would hand it in. And what came up on the screen would not necessarily be any, you know, it would have some of his story, but it would be often vastly changed, which is basically how it works with stuff like this. But yeah. he was very happy about it. I think he did this one. I think he did two other episodes, one of which is a Cad Bane episode.
Which... He was nominated for a Saturn Award for Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Mr. Christick.
He might have been one of the people that like wrote the first. It might have been the first Cad Bane episode. He was being cryptic about it, I think, at the con and saying, you know, we've got something with bounty hunters coming up and people were like, we're Boba Fett or whatever, you know, which it couldn't have been Boba Fett, but, you know. But, yeah, same guy. He's a great guy. He's a real nerd. You know, we sort of met him through Star Wars and Clone Wars, but he made it very clear to Scott and I that, like, yeah, I like talking about Star Wars, but I'm happy to talk about anything nerdy. So,
Mr. Christick will be more than happy to welcome you to J Guys and Jedi any day.
He's got one of those great last names that, well, it's got one vowel in it, but it's just like a surprising lack of vowels.
Christick.
Yeah.
Christick. So, listeners, we have a special treat for you today. That we won't go on a tangent away from. You know, as always, for J Guys and Jedis, we read the moral to you in a lovely Yoda voice, and we say in bed. Well, this episode originally had two morals. Like, it had an original moral, and then they scrapped it, and then they added in a new one. So, we're gonna read you both in bed.
Yes.
So snuggle up. Get your wine, put on some music. It's time for our words of wisdom of the day. Take it away, Chris.
Okay, you want me to start with... I'll start with the original one and then go into the one that they really used. Okay, so the original one was...
It's my favorite.
Friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, impossible to forget, in bed.
Now, we'll go to the one that they used, which is a variation...
Trust in your friends, and they'll have reason to trust you in bed.
That one's a little more practical.
Yeah, I still like the other one.
Yes.
The other one's my favorite. So, act one of Downfall of a Droid. Ready? I'm looking at my notes, oh god. Grievous is kicking ass and taking names in the Outer Rim. Anakin and his battle-weary clones take a stand on the planet of Bothawai. I did go back and re-listen to that. Bothawai. As a last hope to hold out in the foothold for the system. It seems Grievous always knows the Republic's move ahead of time. Obi-Wan, with Ahsoka's support, advises Anakin to flee and regroup. But Anakin wants to stay and fight with a plan. Grievous arrives and navigates through the asteroid field. Anakin sends out his Gold Squad fighters to meet him, making it a distraction. It turns out Anakin hit a group of his tanks led by Captain Rex, hiding in the asteroids behind Grievous. Hitting Grievous on both sides, he has no choice but to run and escape to his ship. Anakin sees him running and takes off after the general. With his ship taking damage, Anakin gets knocked out. He wakes up in the medical ward. Anakin's plan worked in destroying the enemy fleet, but Grievous got away. And there's one more thing. R2 is missing. Dun, 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 dun. I can't read with a cord. I see you enjoying the technology, Grandpa. I saw, like, your little scroll, like, zooming through the notes.
Oh, you can see what I'm doing?
Yeah, can you see my scroll right now? Oh. It's behind R2 is missing.
Oh, dear God. Yes, I do. Oh, my God. Yeah. What?
So, like, I can, what? Like, what? I can
deep in my computer? Oh, dear God, Lord.
That's how Google Docs works.
Oh, this is wizardry.
I know. Like, we can, like, add things at the same time. When I use it with other people, like, if I need to tell them something, but I don't want to interrupt them, I'd be like, hey, here's
I'm glad you told me about that, because it was going to, yeah, that you could have really freaked me out by.
My computer's possessed!
Some troll just got in through a back door and is taking over Google Docs or whatever. Wow. Okay, wow. Amazing.
Do you see why I like using Google Docs?
I guess so. I did not understand.
I will teach you the ways of the young.
Here's one thing I don't understand. Why does Grievous has his cough in this? This is going to be one. This one's got a little bit for both of us. It's got a lot of Grievous and it's got some Rex. I mean, right in this first X, you got Asteroid Rex.
Oh, God. I love that scene. Like, he just pops out of, like,
the tanks,
and he's just, like, riding his... Those tanks always remind me of, like, some kind of horse, and he's just, like, riding the top of it like a brave prince, and he's just like, I'm coming, my general.
it reminds me of the armed elephant, you know, when they'd have the armored elephants.
And, like, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Giant elephants, but I mean, people really used to use armored elephants and stuff like that. But, yeah, it reminds me of something like that. Or banthas in a lot of ways.
So what did you think of this first opening scene?
It was good. I'm docking at a point right off the bat because we've got that cheesy, weird dance rock music. Soundtrack music.
Yeah, I think I have it in this episode. It might be in my notes for the next episode. It worked for this scene, but there's a later scene where it was just like, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, this isn't working.
I don't think it lasts very long. I don't think we're going to see too many episodes with that in it, if I recall. Because it seemed to me like they're experimenting with, okay, we'll try a little bit of this, we'll try a little... I think Filoni's a genius. I think he did it with Rebels, too, where he starts off really simple, but that, like, then they start experimenting with little things here and there to see, we'll see where this goes. We'll see if we like this, we like this. And then starts building complexity and continuity as it goes along. And I think the techno music was an experiment that got quickly discarded. It just doesn't feel very Star Wars-y at all to me.
Yeah, I have it later in my notes for a scene later on. I think it works really well for the battles because it helps give that like extra like energy to the battles. But there's a scene later in the episode where like R2's kind of sneaking around And or like, I think he's cutting open a panel to hotwire.
Yeah, and it's like,
R2's cutting a panel, and R2's clipping the wires. R2 has the wires, and I was just like, oh my god!
It's if it wasn't techno music, it would be like a 70s police drama show, you know, adventure show, and. Yeah, and it dates it, you know. 20 years from now, they'll listen to the music and go, oh, it'll be, you know, it would be like having 70s in there. You know, it's the same thing. Whereas when you have the orchestral music, that's sort of evergreen. That's sort of always going to sound not modern, but not old either. It's not going to sound antiquated or dated. So, and they switch. They don't stay on the techno music very long. They usually have some techno music, and then the next thing you know, you're back to the orchestral score. So I think they were playing it off each other to see what they liked better. Definitely, the techno music is cheaper to do, cheaper and faster to do. You can record a 5 or 6 different 20-minute long techno backgrounds that are different and use them over and over again in any situation because it just needs a beat. It doesn't have to react to the movements on the screen and be scored and all that. So, but I didn't like that. That was the only thing I didn't like about the first act. I loved the ambush from the asteroids. It was sort of a reverse Empire Strikes Back where the bad guys were like, screw the asteroids, we're going in. And then they got totally, you know, totally screwed for it. So I like that. I don't understand Grievous's cough, though, because he does not pick that up until, should not pick that up until just before the beginning of episode 3. And I don't think that's when this takes place.
Yeah, this is way early because Ahsoka's still very much learning. So, and she doesn't have her older outfit yet because she does get an outfit change to show, like, time has passed.
So I don't know if that's a
George... And her Leku get bigger. She has longer Leku.
I don't think it's George Kurstic's fault because I don't think the cough was maybe something in the script. It might have just been the voice actor doing it. But I notice it's not a, like, it's just a little cough.
Yeah, I noticed it more in the next episode when, like, Grievous shows up and, like, Ahsoka and Rex and the other clones are like, it's them versus Grievous, and he's like, I'm here and I'm evil.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. Do you need a lozenge? Come here, hon.
So I don't know if that's a continuity problem or if he had that problem and it just got worsened by...
I do recall that he coughs a lot during this show. It's not just this, like, little storyline. He does it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's always at, like, the weirdest times, too, because he'd be like, Kenobi, welcome to the...
That's why I love him. He's just such a quirky, bizarre, mustache-twirling character. I love it. He's just a great creation. Here's one of my favorite things about episode 3. Just, I love him clanking and stomping around and just so happy to kill and plunder. I love it.
I don't know why, but for some reason, Ahsoka's line about how suicide is not the Jedi way, like, that is a very voice of reason thing coming from a young girl. And it always sticks out to me every time I see this episode. And I don't know what it is about it. I think it's just because Ahsoka is young, and a lot of times she is the voice of reason to Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
I just really liked that line. She is very wise when she's not being rash.
Well, I've noticed the Jedi are definitely... I mean, they'll definitely sacrifice themselves when necessary, but you don't really see that too often either, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, really only like in the movies, in the original trilogy, and Qui-Gon didn't sacrifice himself; he just got whooped. But
Obi-Wan did.
Well, you know, Obi-Wan. Yeah. Well,
he gave himself to the Force.
Right. Right. But it was sort of a sacrifice, I guess.
I can only really think of one scene, and oh gosh, is it in? It might be in season 2 or 3, but it's one of the Ryloth episodes. It's much further down the line. And there's a clone commander and his Jedi, and they're the last ones standing. And they know that they're not going to make it out, but they're like, we need to make sure the refugees have a good chance of getting off this planet. Or if we don't stand them for as long as they can, the longer we stay here, the more of a chance more people have to survive. and they sacrifice themselves. They choose to take on this army and get gunned down because it's the only way to get the people off the pile off. That's about the only other occurrence I can think of where like a Jedi was just like, you know what, I'm choosing to sacrifice my life and lay it down.
They'll put themselves often in situations where they could die in order to do what they get done, but they seem to be, there seems to be a good amount in their training that gives them leeway to figure out a way to save their own asses too, which mm-hmm. is good.
Yeah. Oh. So. Okay, so I love in the medical ward, Ahsoka goes, by the way, Sky Guy, Rex here saved your ass. And I love Anakin and Rex's bro TP, though I would have really loved to have seen the scene where Rex saved Anakin and he like rides in on his tank and he like swoops in with his Bobby O'Hare like he's on a Harlequin novel and he's just like...
with his chest somehow sticking out of his clone trooper outfit.
And he's like, General, I'm here. Come into my beefy arms, I got you.
I think we're getting a little insight into the mind of Hope Mullinex more than anything else here.
Chris, you better underscore that with sexy music.
Oh,
Rex
I got
with long, flowing blonde hair, Bobby O'Hare. Someone draw me this picture of him rescuing Anakin, riding the tank like a horse into battle. My general.
Yeah, maybe this might be something, if I'm feeling really, got some time on my hands and feeling really feisty, maybe I'll try to Photoshop up that Harlequin romance novel.
It is I-Rex.
Do you know what Rex is? Sounds like an app you'll get on your phone.
Rex is Latin for king, and I'm king of your loins.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop. The only other note I had from this section is, and I'm going to say this probably a lot in the next two episodes, is I think Anakin loves R2 more than Padme.
Well, I'm surprised at Obi-Wan's lack of love. That comes later, but yeah, I thought Anakin, or Obi-Wan, really would have been more attached to R2 by this time, but...
Well, keep in mind, they teach that Jedi don't need to have attachment.
That's true.
Like, he's not supposed to, but they need to be able to, like, let things go and stuff like that. And I can see him, Obi-Wan, being like, oh, we lost something that was really helpful. But I don't see, unlike Anakin, who's like, R2 is my friend.
Right.
I made it myself. Like Obi-Wan would be like, oh, we'll just get another one. Oh, well. So, I mean, I can see both sides of that. But at the same time, like, that is, attachment is Anakin's Achilles heel.
Yeah.
That's the reason he suffers so much. I think he would have been done really well as an Altesian Jedi, but they are not in canon anymore, so that sucks.
Hey, I just got an idea. Do you think Clone Wars might have a theme running into in it of where, because of Anakin basically coming out ahead because he gives in to the stuff that are his weaknesses that lead him to the dark side, like here, his attachment to R2?
Oh, I fully support that a lot, because they're in the Mandalore arc in season 2, you know, like, Satine's being held captured, and, like, Obi-Wan doesn't want to kill the guy because it's not the Jedi way, and Anakin just walks up and, like, murders the guy, and he's just like, what? He was gonna blow up the ship!
Yeah.
You know, Obi-Wan was just like, Anakin, it's not the... thanks, but...
Yeah, and...
I think that's why Anakin does so well, is because he, you know, he does... he's willing to bend the rules in ways that other Jedi are not.
Well, here it's... I mean, it's one of his downfall... his big downfall is his attachment, and actually things come out better because, you know, they figure out, you know, all the plot points hinge on him finding R2. So it's really interesting. So I think he's getting all this, like, positive reinforcement through Clone Wars. And then by episode 3, he's like, hey, I don't know, it's been working out for me so far. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what an Altesian Jedi is?
No, is that like a gray Jedi?
They are, it was in one of the books called No Prisoners. And it's not in canon anymore. It was thrown out with a buyout. But Anakin and Ahsoka in this book meet a group of Altesian Jedi led by a leader named Altus, I think was his name, if I remember correctly. It's been a few months since I've read it. But this group of Jedi, the council knows about them, But they frown on them because they allow marriage and they allow a master to take on multiple Padawans and they allow attachments and they allow family because they believe that that makes them stronger as Jedi because their attachment makes them want to fight harder and they have these like little roaming families and they take on people who might not be Jedi but who want to live in the Jedi way. And Anakin is just like, what do you mean you guys can get married? How does that work out for everybody?
They sound more like a more religious branch of the Jedi, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of the Jedi in Coruscant are obviously a little more martial in their ways. I don't, you know?
But they freak out Ahsoka. Ahsoka just, like, meets two of the Padawans, and they're like, hey, my name is so-and-so, and this is my boyfriend, so-and-so. And she's like, oh, you're dating? Ah, dating! And there's also a great scene where she has to kind of explain sex to her clones. She's, like, 14, and she's like, Rex, help me out here. I need to go do something now. That's a great scene. But, yeah, I mean, Anakin's, like, really super interested, and he has to make the choice to go back to the Jedi Order, but yeah, Ahsoka's really, really freaked out by it. It's like her entire world is rocked by this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting, because I think Anakin would do really well as an Althusian Jedi, and he wouldn't have become Vader if he was able to be a Jedi and have attachments.
I don't know if you would have talked Padme into joining, but...
Well, they actually have a really good talk in that book, and she's like, well, what are you going to do after the Clone Wars? And he's like, well, I'm already married to you. And she's like, I know, will you lead the Order? And he's like, I'll see how it goes, but maybe. And she's like, you can't leave the Jedi Order. And he's like, but we're married. Padme, drink your coffee. So, yeah, it's called No Prisoners. It's interesting. To see that, like, other group of Jedi and see Anakin and Ahsoka get their worlds rocked.
Yes.
So, on to Act 2.
On to Act 2.
All right. Obi-Wan congratulates Anakin on his plan, but notices his once Padawan is upset. Anakin says, it's not just the loss of R2 that's an issue. R2 has sensitive plans of the Republic's military tactics and bases in his memory. Obi-Wan gives orders to find the missing droid. While they're getting ready to move out, Ahsoka introduces a brand new droid to help in the mission, R3-S6, aka Goldie. Anakin wants nothing to do with this nonsense. Out in the debris field, they discover R2 is gone. They see a scavenger ship picking up pieces from the battlefield. Anakin uses this as a teaching moment for Ahsoka about how the Archai texts at the Jedi Temple can only do so much. Docking on the ship, Anakin says he wants to buy a droid. They meet a Trandoshan captain named Ganacht, who says they haven't picked up any R2 units recently. Anakin flashes his cash, making it rain, and Ganacht is more in, it just so happens to remember there might be an R2 in the unit hold. Anakin and Ahsoka go into a super creepy holding unit. They see some shutdown assassin droids. Anakin thinks for a moment he hears R2 on the other side of the door. Goldie tries to open the door, but turns on the light and activates the assassin droids. And an awesome fight that breaks out as our heroes quickly dispose of the droids. Anakin is pissed at R3, calling him stubby. They reveal their Jedi to Ganacht and leave the ship.
I'm sick of the nicknames. They're too cute. Stubby's too cute of a nickname for that little prick.
I don't mind it, because saying R3 and R2, like, it'd be one thing if it was, like, R2 and C-3PO, they have such different names, but I don't mind it in this episode, because R2 and R3 are very similar. I think there's even a moment where there's a goof where General Grievous says, bring that R3 unit to me, and I think any means R2. Like,
right.
I don't mind it in this episode, only just because they're such similar names. It'd be one thing if it, like, kept on going, though.
I mean, technically, you should just say, bring that astromech to me. Kerstick, yeah. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
It might not even be Kerstick that wrote that line. You know?
I don't mind it. I don't mind the nicknames. Like, I minded R2, and I kind of like Sky Guy on occasion. I don't, as long as not like every single episode. Yeah, I don't mind it, especially since, you know, Goldie and Stubby, I think, is a cute name.
Snips is a little better, and the worst so far is R2E.
R2E.
I hate that.
Well, it hates you too, Chris.
No.
It didn't like you first.
No.
It was created just to piss you off.
I'll wrestle it. and I'll so win.
Think, other than the nicknames, what do you think of this section?
This is my favorite section of the whole thing. I love this part of it because this was a great when Scott Gardner and I originally did this in Star Wars Monthly Monday. We were just so psyched because IG-88 was like one of our favorite bounty hunters, but of course he didn't do anything but just stand there and like have a few blinking lights and his head turned a little bit, you know, and hold a gun. But, you know, we had the action figure and stuff, and he seemed like kind of the clunkiest of all the, like the least dangerous of all those bounty hunters there because he was just sort of a puppet robot there. Mm-hmm. And so you figure like in those days, if we were to picture that robot leaping into action, it would be sort of going clunk, clunk, clunk and lifting up.
But they're so graceful and elegant.
Exactly. They do things that you see how their arms and legs and head allow them and the segmentation of them allow them to just sort of move in any direction they want, you know, clip onto stuff and flip around. And all of a sudden they're the most dangerous of all those bounty hunters. And the way they move, the way they animated it and figured it out, I'm positive that that wasn't what was planned when they designed it, IG-88. They designed him to be just a cool-looking robot with a gun. But they really made it seem like that was what, you know, that he looked that way because they were designed to do this. And It's great. That's very Star Wars when you see it going and going, oh, that's why he's got long arms with... And they've got all those sort of twisted articulations so they can sort of go in three dimensions. I love it.
Go ahead.
If it wasn't two Jedi that they were fighting, they would be almost like too much for anybody.
Yeah. Because this is the first time we're seeing the Assassin Droids in the series, right?
Yes.
Okay. They reminded me, I wrote this in my notes, spiders almost. Like, yeah. They have, like, but they also kind of reminded me of Gumby. And the way I mean that... kids, you might be too young for this reference. But you know how, like, in the old, like, claymation show Gumby, how he'd be a person, but he could, like, roll up in a ball and then change his shape?
And then clay into something else, yeah.
That's how they, like, I reminded me of how they move, because they would straighten up, and then they would, like, go in little balls and, like, spread out again, and, like, go in little balls and spread out again. Like, they really reminded me of Gumby.
Yeah. Well, they sort of look like... The articulated armatures that they would have under claymation creatures back in the day when they did claymation, they would build, you know, a little skeleton that with movable joints on it. And they looked a lot like IG-88, you know, he sort of looks like what they do without the skin on him. And, you would not expect them to be acrobats, and that's what they basically are, acrobatic assassins. And one of them would be deadly, but they turn on a whole bunch of them. And this is where we're really just starting to hate, right off the bat, R3.
Mm-hmm.
Just hate that guy. At first, we think we're hating him because he's incompetent.
Yeah, I have a note about that. I'll get to that in a little bit. I really do like the scene where Ahsoka is introducing... Goldie to Anakin, though, because it reminds me of whenever, like, when I was trying to get my dad to use Facebook. Like, I was like, Dad, it's shiny. You can talk to your friends. It's really fun. And, like, my dad's always just, like, so grumpy. He's like, I don't want to use Facebook. And so it just made it even better that Ahsoka calls Anakin Grumps in this section, too. He calls him Gramps, like Grandpa.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, stubby.
Well, it's a perfect setup because you think, yeah, Anakin's being sentimental and his regular sort of snotty babyish self and like, I want my R2 unit and I'm not even going to give this one a chance.
It's mine.
And now he's nervous and I'm being mean to him and stuff. So it's trying to build sympathy for old Goldie, but not getting much sympathy for him because I like R2 too and I don't, you know. It's almost like when they would have a sitcom and somebody would quit or die and they would bring on a character that was not that character but almost just like him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're playing with that because this is a cartoon and it's R2-D2. It's not like the voice actor is going to die. So there's no reason. And it's not like R2-D2 is not back for episode 3. So you know that they're not just like, this isn't going to be the Curly Joe of the Three Stooges. It's, but at the same time, you sort of feel for the little guy. You're supposed to feel for the little guy. I just want to kick him from the get-go. Yeah. And I'm like Anakin, and I never trusted that guy.
Yeah. I do like when Ahsoka's reaction when Anakin calls her Pookums, because she was just like, oh, Pookums. And I like that happened throughout the series. Like, every time her and Anakin have to make a ruse, he's always just like, and my darling here. And she's like, oh, God. And then, like, there was the slaver arc when he was like, this is my slave. And she's just like, unhand me, villain. Like, she's so bad at following along with these things. And Anakin's so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like that also Ahsoka learns from it, too. Like, there's parts later in the series that she uses these same tactics that Anakin teaches her. So the hold in Gnak's ship, though, is really nice. Like, when they first walk in, it's super creepy. The music is, like, really playing it up, and everything's, like, really red-tinted. Like, it is a complete warning that some crap is about to go down.
I love it. It's like the back of a junk dealer's, you know, the storage room of a junk dealer's place. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Just old crady shelves. Fart joke. We got a fart joke.
Yay! We're classy.
That's one of the new additions to Star Wars now, is fart jokes. We can have them. I don't know. Maybe Disney will purge fart jokes from future Star Wars. We'll see. But here's one. Second fart joke so far from one in episode one and this one. I think that's all the fart jokes we got.
Take a drink.
More space techno in this one.
Yeah.
It was funny. The first thing, like, when I saw R2, I'm like, oh no, he's got a restraining bolt on him. It's so so set in from Star Wars. It was just like, oh no, a restraining bolt. But wouldn't a restraining bolt restrain you from taking the restraining bolt off? Otherwise, it would be pointless. So I don't understand that. That's coming up later.
Maybe Gnak didn't put it on right.
Mm.
He doesn't seem like he's the smartest guy in the galaxy.
No, he's just some slob that stumbled into something bigger than him. So he's used to just dealing with ding-dong droids, not no R2-D2.
Mm-hmm. I do have to wonder, though, if Anakin hadn't lost his temper and, like, acted like a dumb kid, would Gnak have even figured out that they were Jedis? Because he just got mad and pulled his lightsaber on Gnak.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, would he have, you know, figured it out and was just like, oh, because that's what makes him go, oh, these are Jedi. This R2 unit has to be more. Let me call it Grievous.
Yeah, it kind of fouls things, but at the same time, I don't know, maybe it's a force thing, but it sets things in motion to resolve, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being good that he ended up identifying them as Jedi, because it starts pulling Grievous more into the picture. I don't know, it seems like this guy is somebody that people just like pulling lightsabers on. What you eating?
Yeah, I'm eating, sorry, Skittles, I got hungry.
No, I'm not trying to...
Well, now that I'm not trying to be quiet, I'm just going to dump on my counter, there we go. I was trying to be so quiet.
You up front. I'm trying not to podcast shame you. I'm genuinely interested in what everybody's eating. I'm going to be eating I went to a health food store with my roommate today, and on sale I got some sweet potato and apple chips.
I went to Kroger's today, and in the clearance section, it was $15. It was $3, and it was a 30-pack of Star Wars gummies.
Ah, nice.
I was excited. I was like, Yoda, you're coming home with me. Come on, man.
I'm going to chew you guys up.
Well, that's all I have for this section. Do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm all ready to get into the next one. All
right, so Gnak contacts General Grievous, revealing he had R2 all along. Obi-Wan is calling off the search for R2 for a more pressing matter. They figure out Grievous must have a listening post somewhere, allowing him to intercept the transmissions and ambush the Republic fleet. Splitting up his fleet, Anakin decides to go alone to search one particular area. After some persuading from Ahsoka, he decides to take Goldie/Stubby with him. With Ganok to sleep, R2 is able to dispose of an assassin droid, but is caught by Ganok. Out in dead space, Stubby starts messing up again, activating the tracking beacon on Anakin's ship. Grievous picks up the signal, and bam, his ship is face-to-face with Anakin. Stubby completely drops Anakin's hyperspace rings, cutting off his escape route. Luckily, Rex and Ahsoka arrive in the twilight to save his skin. They jump into hyperspace to live another day. Anakin is pissed again at R3. The end. I just really like the part where, like, Anakin's just like, oh, the tracking beacon's on! R3, turn off the tracking beacon! The tracking beacon! And he reaches over and just presses one button.
He's batting, this droid is batting zero at this point. He's just, he's just doing the opposite of what is needed every time.
No, but it's the fact that, like, the tracking beacon is one button. Anakin just reaches over and turns it off with a button. Because if it was me and like, it was just like, boop, boop, beep, I would have been like, turn it off. I would have been like, don't yell at the droid. I've been like, beep, beep, nope. All right, I laugh every time I see that shame.
More techno music.
Yeah.
It goes a little art rocky in this one. It's got a little more, like, weird art rockiness, but it's just out of place, I think. Especially in this, I think this scene. Yeah.
I think Ahsoka did a lot of fancy flying. And excuse me, Rex has now officially saved Anakin twice in this episode. I need to keep like a drink tally for this. Or like a love tally. It's going to be a love tally.
Are you going to keep track of how many times each one of them saves each one of them's lives?
See
if they even out.
I really should. I don't have a notebook with me right now. But what did you think of this final section?
I don't have a lot of notes on it. Once again, I didn't like the music. I sort of got ahead of myself in the last one, but the R2 taking off his own restraining bolt was a little too easy for me, but I still like that scene. I like seeing R2, you know, taking out, you know, that's what I like about R2 is he's the droid who really, you know, nobody needs to tell him what to do. He's trying to get one step ahead of the bad guys at all the time. And if you leave him alone, most droids would probably just sit and go into low power mode or something like that. Or, you know, or should just get reprogrammed or something. R2's going to put up resistance if he can at any point. What I really liked about this episode were those reverse shots of the cockpit in Anakin's ship. I think they were only from Anakin's ship, but it was as if the camera was down at his feet, like near the gas pedal and brakes, you know, shooting out over Anakin with just a reverse shot of space and, you know, the battle behind him. And I like that. That was very... It was a new angle for a Star Wars shot. Although there are reverse angles, they're usually from like up in the cockpit, you know, right face level. This was really neat because it sort of gave you a little more feel for what it's like to be inside of one of the Jedi fighters. And I thought that was really neat. And it's neat to see the battle playing out behind him sort of in reverse, you know, through the rear view. So I really liked those shots. That's about all I really, really had for this one. It was a good adventure. They're not treading a lot of new ground. This one gets all its credit for showing the IG-88s in action for me.
So you're already jumped into your final thoughts of the episode.
Well, no, I'll get to my final thoughts, but that was like the high point. I am getting ahead of myself.
Because I only have one other note, because this is a two-part storyline. So if you're watching this episode by episode with us, with our episodes, and so you haven't seen the next one, spoilers ahead. I'm going to cover, warning, spoiler warning, but this also came out in 2008, so not big spoiler. But this comes up more in the next episode too, but do you think that they're laying it on a little bit too thick that something is up with R3? Or is it just enough to where, you know, if you keep in mind this is a children's television show, he is acting inept and stuff like that. I think it, because I remember watching this, I'm like,
I think it works.
Really, yeah. Because he seems like he doesn't. He's inept and incompetent. It's not his fault.
Well, I'm making fun of it, and I'm also. But I've also been just with my making fun, sort of spoiling ahead into what we don't know in the story now. But, like watching this originally, and knowing that it's a children's show, I thought the exaggeration was just to show exactly how yes, he was inept. And it was just to sort of rub salt into the story element that, you know, Anakin doesn't want to deal with another R2 unit, but besides R2. So it was just sort of exaggerating that instead of being foreshadowing. Although I believe the thought did occur to me, but at the same time, I was thinking, they're just really putting it on the nose for the kids. That Anakin's being a jerk because he misses R2 and he's picking on this poor droid. And plus you have Ahsoka, who's sort of the stand-in for kids. She's 14, which means she's just that age that a 9-year-old kid would look up to her. You know, 9-year-old little kid would be like, oh, it's an older kid and stuff. That would be their proxy into the show. And she's the one saying, hey, look, give this droid a chance. And also, she's been right a good amount of times, you know, when she has given him advice. So I was going along with it. And so I think that was good. I think that story element was a smart story element because it made the adult viewers go, they're just being a kiddie show, you know?
I don't know. Like, I think I'm so tainted by, like, current day television shows now. Like, right. I watch a lot of current, like, kids shows like Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, My Little Pony, and stuff like that. So, like, watching this, I was like, this is really laying it on too thick for kids. Kids are smarter than this. They can handle stuff like this. But, of course, I'm used to crazy shows like Gravity Falls where you have a mystery that literally takes a season and a half to solve, and it's, like, laying down clues. But I also remind myself that this was in 2008. There was a completely different scene in children's television at the
time.
Right. You know, we weren't in this different age yet. So it could also be that, but I'm glad that they didn't drag it out for more than two storylines. Maybe that's why they, like, hit it so hard this one, because it is a two-parter. It'd be one thing if, like, Goldie was, like, a long game and, like, maybe became Ahsoka's droid. So it's like Anakin has R2 and she has R3 and then he revealed himself as a spy, then I'd be like, okay, this is really heavy, instead of, like, they should have spread it out, but well, I don't know.
If I think at that time, and also, you know, we talk about it, like, in the course of culture and stuff, I guess 2008 was a long time ago, but it was 8 years ago, so I guess it was. But a kid's show with continuity in it, not unheard of, the fact that it was going to have continuity in it means that, you know, you need to, if Goldie's going to be a character, which we know is probably not going to be, maybe he would end up being a foil to R2 or something, but he's probably not going to end up being an ongoing character. You might as well pound it home in that one episode, because there's going to be a week for the kids to forget it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when they come back from the week, they go, oh yeah, that's the droid that doesn't get anything right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just beat it into the story. And it makes the story more dramatic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they over... I do think they exaggerated it, but I don't think it was a poor decision.
So that's all I have. What are your final thoughts on the episode? Assassin droids.
The assassin droids were what made it for me. I was amused by seeing, you know, Bosk. What was their you mentioned they're not Transdotians, right? They're
Gnacht.
You know, he's a stumpy version of Bosk. So it was just funny to see him. But I am docking this episode, since we're scoring it, I'm docking it a point. It would have been a 7. I'm giving it a 6 because of the music. The music was, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
So since, you know, I don't want to give solid 8s all the way across. So I have to find excuses to dock And that's,
yeah, I was thinking about that too. I'm like, you know, probably on average, most of my episodes are going to be like right about a 7 right. or an 8.
And you know, we're on episode 50 and the listeners are like, yeah, yeah, I know. 8 out of 10. Here it comes. 8 out of 10.
I can think of 4 episodes that are 10 out of 10s for me.
There's going to be some 10 out of 10s. Yes. There's a few 10 out of 10s that I can think of off the top of my head. And I have a feeling that I'm going to rediscover a few too.
And I know next week when we have Bombad Jedi, and it's the first Jar Jar episode, it's going to be much lower.
Oh, we might have a point spread on this one. Here's some drama coming up, folks.
Yeah, and I will say there's an entire droid arc in season 5 where it's like R2 leads a group of droids for like 4 fucking episodes. I hate those episodes. They're so boring. I hate those episodes.
Oh.
The only good thing about those episodes is episode 100. Because if we finally get a clone. So, yeah, episode 100 is the only good episode of the arc. So that's going to be really low ranking for me because I just can't stand those episodes. So, yeah, we'll get that. For me, it's not my favorite episode. It's not the best episode, but it's not the worst. Like, we've had better battles. We've had better moments with all the characters. But it's not bad. It's just okay. So I gave it about a 6.5. So it's okay. I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, I think we're about the same on that. That I think you summed it up a lot better than I did. But that's about how I feel. It's a good solid workmanlike episode of Clone Wars. You could present this one to someone and say, yeah, this is what Clone Wars is generally like. You know, mm-hmm. Not a bad one. Not blow your mind one.
Average. Mm-hmm. It's very average.
So, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where I hang out all the time. And all the time, if you guys have been listening, you know that. But if you're new to the show, I'm always awesome. Always awesome. I'm working on getting chrishoneywellalwaysawesome.com or chrishoneywellalwaysawesome.net, whatever I have to get, you know, on the air soon enough. But for now, twotruefreaks.com. where all the Two True Freaks podcasts live, and I'm on probably 5 or 6 of them, and Hope's on at least 3 now, right?
You know? Yeah, this would be my 3rd.
Yep. So, and there's a lot you'll hear on the tail end of this. You'll hear a lot more information about the things you can do on twotruefreaks.com. But in the meantime, where you be at?
Well, you can find us on Twitter at JGuysAndJedis. And I just found out before this episode that there's a Two True Freaks Twitter
yes,
account.
Yes, there is now. As of last week, yes. And as I say last week, it was probably two months ago by the time it comes out. But yeah, it's been up for a little while.
And I also write for whatthefangirl.com, where I write Clone Wars season recaps. And I'm still on season 3, guys. It took me 6 months to do season 2. This is going to take a while, so I'm still on season 3. So, but I also write all sorts of other little things, like I write about Leia and stuff. I write about stuff. Go see my stuff. It's stuff. I just wrote a Once Upon a Time thing. I write a lot about
full
Once
of stuff
time,
and the stuff I wrote about it.
Still. Michael Stock is stuff because I want to marry him.
There's stuff there and things.
And stuff. Alright, well, this was fun stuff. It's a really good stuff episode.
Alright, Hope, now that we remember it, and I'm saying we with the assumption that you remember, what's our outro cue? You remember?
It's been 2 weeks.
We set one, and then it became Star Wars with pew-pews in it.
Yeah, but then I think we said, made the Rex be with
yes,
you.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Pews be with you.
Rex pew-pews.
With his hardened hair.
I just see Hope and Rex snuggled up like, you know, in the classic cartoon. You know, they're in bed with the blankets up with the cigarettes and... Hope's twirling his hair, calling him Rexy Pew.
Rexy Pew. You
Rexy
can hear my
Pew,
chair.
Can you go get me
this
some
is
warm
the sound
milk?
Of me riding off into the distance with Rex, if you can hear my chair. Rexy Pew, let's go.
All right, we'll see you in a week. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
A little button.